I want to invite you to Psalms 2. What in the world is going on? That's the question for this morning. What in the world is going on with America? It seems like it's disintegrating right in front of us. There seems to be so much tension. Some of it's artificial. Some of it's economic because of this COVID-19. Some of it's because of class tension, race tension. It seems like everything is starting to fall apart right in front of us. There's a lot of hate. There's a lot of evil. And it's being exploited by some of the evilest people in the world. My citizenship and my alliance and allegiance is to God. My citizenship is from heaven. But I do love this temporary home called America. And the question is, why is this happening now? Why does it seem like everything is falling apart? No one would have guessed a year ago that we would be here right now. As Christians, God wants us to understand and for us not to be surprised. Why? He told us how these things can happen. He told us. And this is an opportunity for us to look at them. And that's why you can find the answers as to why, what in the world is going on in three passages. Psalms 2, Deuteronomy 28, and Romans 1. There's no way we can go through all three of them. And maybe in the next couple of weeks, next time, I'll be able to spend some time on Deuteronomy 28. I heard last week you guys did cover Deuteronomy 30. But these three passages, I want to encourage parents to please look at Psalms 2. It tells you why. Deuteronomy 28. It's talking there about the nation of Israel, but those principles can be applied to any nation, including the nation of America. And then Romans 1. We should not be surprised. It's all there. I encourage you to spend time. Last week, I spent time with my kids to explain to them two of those passages, and it was a wonderful conversation. I want to encourage you as parents to do it with your children. Some people say that this is what we're going through is a dress rehearsal. If you know what a dress rehearsal is, it's like when you go to a wedding. On Friday, you do the dress rehearsal. You go and you walk through the motions, what's being planned out for the real event the next day on Saturday, the wedding. What we're experiencing is just a dress rehearsal, a trial run of something bigger that's coming. Is it the Great Tribulation? We might not be around. Our kids might be. So it's important for us to go through these scripture verses with them so they can have an understanding of God's perspective of things. If you spend a lot of time watching the news, it seems like it's chaos. And that's why it's so important for us to share our kids and show our kids another network news. I call it the network from glory. And it's good to show them this from a different perspective. So let's look at Psalms 2. What in the world is going on is explained here in Psalms 2. And if we're going to put the verses up, those guys in the back, please just leave them up, the verses, because it's important for the church to see these verses. Psalms 2, verse 1. Psalms 2, verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? Why are the nations in an uproar? Why are different nationality, ethnicities, different countries all so upset? Why are these different ethnic groups plotting in vain? The word plot, it actually means to conspire, scheming, organizing. What are they doing? What are they plotting? What are they scheming? Well, the very next verse, verse 2, tells us who is plotting. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, big A. This is an end times prophecy in Psalms. Who's doing it? The kings of the earth set themselves. The actual language here is it's a military preparation to go to war. The rulers counsel together. Wait a minute, the rulers, you can barely get political rulers to agree on anything. But here, all the nations, all the rulers, they're creating an international coalition. When I found out that the COVID-19, I don't know if you guys, this is a historic event where pretty much the entire world, it's a pandemic, where they all agreed, Iran, China, and America together. Wow. Take counsel together. For what purpose? Why are they gathering together? Why are they plotting? Why are they scheming against the Lord? They're going to war against God. But not just God, look carefully here, and his anointed. Wait a minute. When the Psalms was written, this is talking about the Messiah. Jesus hadn't come yet. He didn't come in the time when the Psalms was written. But he has come in our time. He's already been come. This was written as an end time prophecy to tell us what is happening, what is going on in the world. Mankind is rebelling against God and his Son, Jesus Christ. It's man's attempt to get rid of God and his Son. We don't need him. We don't need to acknowledge him. We don't need to confess to him. And then in verse 3, it gives us the mission statement, if you want to say, of this United Nations against God. This is their vision. Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. What bonds? What cords? It's the Lord's. It's God's and Jesus's. What are they talking about? This is a liberation movement. They view divine authority as slavery, as oppression, as controlling. We need to liberate ourselves from this. There's an organization that became very popular in the last couple of months. I'm not going to mention its name. If you read its statements, their goal is very anti-Christ. Their goal is to get rid, if they can, of God and any reference to Jesus Christ. Throw off their authority. We saw this. I'm going to share with you just some examples. You have to be blind not to see it. In June 2020, last month, the top in our society, they get the final say. They get the final word. The Supreme Court of America decided that transgenderism should be included as part of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. I didn't vote for this, did you? The average person didn't vote for this. It's being imposed upon us by the kings and the rulers. We have no choice. It's not just being plotted in some basement. It's at the highest echelon. The kings and the rulers are plotting, scheming, organizing. Anti-Christian thinking. You go to the highest echelon of the schools in America or around the world, you name them. They're saturating our kids with this anti-Christ thinking and teaching. The higher you go up, the further you go from God. You go to Washington, it's filled with godless people, the rulers and the kings who are scheming and plotting. Samuel Rodriguez is a pastor from California. I don't agree with everything he says. He's a word of faith preacher. But he tells an interesting story that kind of exposes Washington in its true colors. He was invited for the inauguration of Donald Trump in 2017 to go and pray. And when he got there, he remembers how many people came to him and told him, "Pastor Rodriguez, it's good to have you here, but when you pray, please don't mention the name." He said, "What name?" "You know the name. It's been 11 years, and that name hasn't been mentioned on the stage. We want to keep it that way. That name is only reserved for simple people. It divides the country. It's myopic. Please don't mention that name." So Pastor Rodriguez got up, a little bit nervous, because why so many people telling him? Keep it quiet. Don't mention the name. He finished his prayer, and he made sure to finish with, "In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior." First time in 11 years. What's going on? Picture a rebellion, a grassroots movement on the street, a mob. That's what Psalm is talking about here. But it reaches the highest level of authority in our country, the kings and the rulers. The Supreme Court on Friday of this week decided to favor the Nevada ruling, the Nevada government, in which churches in Nevada cannot gather more than 50 together, but casinos and bars can have hundreds. It doesn't matter if you put five conservative judges or all of them to be conservative. There's a plot, a scheming, a counseling together. It's part of the end times to go against God and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. They are fulfilling Psalms 2. I saw a protester's sign that really disturbed me, because it said, "If Jesus comes back again, I will kill him personally." It's getting ugly. It's getting real. But Psalms 2 told us, thousands of years beforehand. Look at verse 4. Look what God is doing. "He who sits in the heaven laughs." I like this image. God is not sitting there in heaven. "I'm scared. I'm pacing back and forth. What are they going to do? The world, the leaders are coming against me." He is sitting. He's not even standing up. They're not worth for him to stand up. I love the fact that the only time you see that God stands up is, you know when? Is when Stephen, that's right, when Stephen was being stoned, he looked up into the heavens and he saw the Son of Man. He'll stand up. They deserve it. I'll stand up for that. But I'm going to sit down. I'm not scared. In fact, look what he's doing. He's sitting down and he's laughing. Man's rebellion is divine comedy to Almighty God. You want to get rid of him? Are you serious? I love to tell my kids the story, because one of my favorite stories, if you look in Revelation, it actually talks about the times at the end in which the devil is going to deceive mankind. I don't know how, I don't want to use the word here because I'm going to get in trouble, how foolish you have to be in which the devil is going to deceive mankind, for mankind to go against the Lamb as he comes back. And I try to imagine, I told my son, I said, Jason, imagine all these Americans with their AK-47s. Maybe by then they'll have missiles on the end with nuclear tips. Who knows, with lasers and all this kind of jazz and big battleships. And I try to imagine God looking at them and saying, are you serious? Are you serious? I'm laughing. Do you know who I am? I'm the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. I'm the one who knows how many hairs each one of you has on their head. I can tell you. I know how many air molecules I just breathed in. It says in Colossians, one of my favorite verses, and I want us to read and look at it together. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by him, talking about Christ, all things were created. In heaven, on earth, look at this. Visible and invisible. Antimatter, the molecules, the things that we can't even see. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, look at this. All things were created through him and for him. And look at the next verse. And he is before all things, and in him, in Christ, all things are being held together. I told my son, when that foolish army of men pointing their guns to the Lamb, he's laughing. He can snap his fingers, and there's no antimatter. There's no air molecules. They won't be able to breathe. They'll be floating out in space. He's holding it together. Are you serious? All of the laws of physics can be gone if he just says for them to be gone. But look how it finishes off here. The rest from 7 all the way to 12 declares the Messiah, the anointed one, that Christ has authority over the nations, over the world. The entire world is in his hands. Look what it says in verse 5. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrifying them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. Referring to Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. This is declaring. If you want to go home and spend some time on this, verse 7 is powerful. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. This is God declaring the resurrection of Jesus Christ in this verse 7. Go home and study it. It's amazing. We find it, in fact, referenced in Acts 13, 32 and 33. Paul is talking about the good news. And look what he says. Paul is saying this. And we bring you the good news of what God promised to the fathers. Look at the next verse, 33. This he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus, as also is written in the second psalm, which we're reading right now. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. God is declaring the resurrection of Jesus in verse 7. Verse 8 of Psalms 2:8. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. Jesus is not only the king of the Jews, as written on top of the cross. He is the king of kings and the lord of lords. And he has every right to claim the nations as his own. It's his gift, his inheritance. That's why he told the disciples in the Great Commission, what did he say? Go preach to who? To all nations, making them my disciples. It's his. It belongs to him. Verse 9 talks about Christ having the right to judge these nations. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Verse 10 through 12 is a warning to all the kings, all the rulers, all the institutions of education, to all the high echelons in this world today. Kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, or else you will perish. We have an opportunity for God to still be merciful with us as a nation, the world. It tells them to kiss the sun. It's not a romance kiss. It's a kiss that would happen when a conquered king or ruler would go before the other king and kiss his hand, his feet, or his cheek. It's an act of submission. Rulers, kings, presidents, supreme courts, kiss the sun or you will perish. Are we surprised? No. I found out that this week, just to give you an example, and we should have known this is going to happen. I remember growing up in America when Thanksgiving was Thanksgiving and you spent the whole day with your family. Changed. We started noticing in the last, I would say, 8 years, you started noticing that Walmart opened up. It used to be that you'd open up on Friday at 6 in the morning, then they moved it to 12 o'clock at night, midnight, and then Macy's opened up at like 9 o'clock p.m. on Thanksgiving Day, and then Walmart started competing. It's all about the dollars, the money. Started opening up at 6, and this last time was the first time that it was, you get such a short period of time with your family, being thankful to God, acknowledging Him, praising Him, one day of the year for a couple of hours. They start squeezing us. Less time with your family, less time acknowledging Him. This year I heard good news that Walmart decided that this year they're going to make sure that the entire day of Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, none of their employees is going to be completely closed. Praise God. The kings, the rulers, the companies have an opportunity. They've been warned. Kiss the Son, acknowledge Him, or you will perish. No matter what the world, for us as believers, how it ends, or what's going to happen, we know one thing, that Jesus Christ is King and He reigns both heaven and earth. May God bless us. Amen.